Developing the heart of a disciple and becoming not only disciples ourselves, but becoming a disciple-making church, a church that is about the business of building others up and building one another up in faith. Last week, we talked about why discipleship is important and saw that it's something that is near and dear to the heart of God and something that he's called us to. And so today we're moving on in the discussion about these questions surrounding discipleship and looking at what is a disciple. If I was to ask you this question, what is a disciple, what would you say? How would you answer it? I think that in likelihood, there'd be different answers that would be given in a church this size. Different perspectives on what is important and what is the essence of being a disciple. Our mission statement at Grace Covenant is becoming disciples to make disciples. That's what is driving our decisions, driving our thinking as we move forward into the future. But the reality is if we don't have a similar idea of what discipleship is, we're going to have a very different idea of what this means. If we think that discipleship or becoming a disciple is about being a good churchgoer and sitting in the pew and trying to get other people to come sit in the pew, to come to our church, well, then our decisions and our conversations will look one way. If we decide that being a disciple is more about, less about just coming to church, and it's more about getting involved in a small group, investing in one another in a home setting, studying the Word of God, whatever that might look like, we will start to talk about it and make decisions in a different way. If we think that being a disciple is more about service and being a nice person and helpful person, and we are encouraging people to grow in their helpfulness and their servant heart, then we might look at it yet another way. And again, our decisions and our aims will be such that we'll be leading, everything will be leading in that direction. And so how we answer the question, what is a disciple, greatly impacts what we do as a church. But not only that, how you answer the question of what is a disciple greatly impacts the way that you live your life and live out your faith as a follower of Jesus. If you think that your faith is being a disciple is coming to church, then that will look one way. If it being a disciple is being in a small group, that'll be in a different way. If it's helping others and having a heart of service, that will look a different way. And so it matters how we define discipleship. So what is a disciple? It really doesn't matter what you think or what I think. What matters is what God thinks. And so we go to Scripture to find some sense of what being a disciple is all about. And there's a passage that I think is a good succinct summary of this. We're going to be looking at this passage this morning. It's the passage we just heard in Matthew 4:19, and it says this, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. This is what Jesus said to Peter and John, or Peter and Andrew, as they were coming in from fishing. He looked at them and invited them into relationship. I think this is a simple sentence to help us remember the essentials of being a disciple. So what do we see in this? How do we define discipleship through this verse? Well, the first thing is that it shows us that a disciple is someone who is following Jesus. A disciple is someone who's following Jesus. We see in the first part, Matthew 4:19, "Follow me." Today we use the term following someone quite a bit. If you have any connection with social media, you probably follow several people, maybe lots and lots of people. It's simple to follow someone on Facebook or on Twitter. You simply push a button and say, I am going to follow this feed, this person. And what we're saying when we push that button is, I'm generally interested to hear what this person has to say. I'm generally interested in the content that's coming from this site. And so, you know, hey, I would be, from time to time, curious to see what they are doing there. And so I'll follow, and then maybe once a week, maybe once a month, depending on what kind of content it is, there would be some updates that we would see. Maybe it's something that every day we're listening to the thoughts of others through their feeds. But when we follow in this way, it gives us this sense that, you know, I can follow when I feel like it. I can ignore it when I don't. It's very low commitment. It's easy to start following. It doesn't require much of us. And it's easy to stop following without even really knowing it. There are so many feeds that I follow that I actually never look at because I've just followed more and more things, and they've kind of gone by the wayside. But when we talk about Jesus, and when you talk about being a disciple, and Jesus saying, follow me, this isn't the kind of following he's talking about. It's not I'm kind of interested in what you might have to say, Jesus, so hey, come back every once in a while and tell me a few new things, and I'll think about it. I'll maybe discuss it with my friends, and then kind of think about maybe adjusting my thinking around what you've said. The kind of following that Jesus is talking about is far more focused, has far more commitment behind it, and it looks a lot more like an apprenticeship than simply clicking a button on Facebook. In an apprenticeship, an apprentice decides that they desire to know gain the skills and knowledge of a master. You can be apprenticed in all sorts of different things, and what happens is that the student, the apprentice, finds someone that they respect, someone that they admire, someone who they think is worth imitating and learning from, and they attach themselves to that person. They work with that person. They study that person. They listen to that person with the hopes that over time, they will know what that person knows. They'll be able to do what that person does. And so a woodworker who starts out not knowing much about the shop will one day become a master themselves. Maybe take on an apprentice themselves and share what they have learned from the one who taught them. This is what a disciple is. This is what following is all about. The word used for disciple in the Bible is a word that means learner or student. And so in this case, the apprentice or the student takes a posture of obedience, placing oneself under the authority and the guidance of the master. If the master says to do something, they don't sit and think about whether or not they want to do it. They do it. If the master says that they need to think this way about their craft, they don't bring up lots of other ways that they think might be better. They listen and they adjust their thinking around the master. It means giving the master authority, letting the master guide and direct. For an apprentice, it doesn't mean just in certain areas of the shop. It doesn't mean in certain areas of the work, but in all areas. This is the way it is with Jesus. When Jesus invites Peter and Andrew to come follow him, he's saying, come be my apprentices. Come learn from me. Come watch me. Come listen to me. And I will help you become what I am. But this will take commitment on your part. Not a little click, not a half-hearted, sure, why not. But this will take a commitment of your whole life. We see this when Peter and Andrew and James and John, when they respond to the call, what do? They leave their nets. They leave their boats. They leave their livelihood. They leave their families and they follow Jesus. They go where he goes so that they might learn from him. When we talk about discipleship, this is the first step. Moving from a place where we're dictating what life looks like, when we're leading the way and bringing ourselves under the guidance and authority of Jesus. Leaving the old behind and letting him make us new. In Ephesians 5:1, we see this concept in what Paul is saying. When he says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear child, or dear children. Live a life filled with love. He goes on to say, talk about that love expressed through Jesus on the cross, and imitating Jesus' sacrifice, his love for others. He says, become like your master. Follow him. When you think about your definition of discipleship, when you think about your own life as a disciple of Jesus, how well are you following him? Does your life look more like, or does your following of him look more like an apprentice relationship? Or does it look like he's your Facebook friend? There's a big difference. We want Jesus to be our apprentice. We want to follow him with all of our heart. The next thing we see in this passage is that a disciple is someone who is being changed by Jesus. He's following Jesus. She is following Jesus. They're entering into relationship. And Jesus says to Peter and Andrew, follow me and I will make you. So they're going to the point first. A disciple is someone who is being changed by Jesus. He says in Matthew 4:19, I will make you. You know, the thing is that when Jesus calls us, he doesn't call us to say the same, but unfortunately, just our human nature is one that prefers things to stay comfortable, to stay the same, stay the way they have always been. I was actually just having a conversation about this in Sunday school, talking about sitting in a different place. And at my table, we were just talking about how sometimes when you sit in the same place for years and years and years and years and years and years, it feels like your spot. And it's hard to shift. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about when I went to college, a few professors said in their class as we came in on the first day that there's no assigned seating. You can sit wherever you want. And don't think of that seat as yours. You can, if you want to switch around, you can. And the first thing that came to my mind is I had grown up in school and sat in the assigned seat for an entire year in each class that I had taken was, well, that's fine for other people, but I'm going to sit right here in this seat all semester because this is where I feel most comfortable. I've established myself here, and this is where I'll stay. Our human nature is one that leans that direction, and so we almost want to put up a sign in our lives that says, do not change. Stay put. Keep things as they are because that's how we like them. And especially when we get it to fit exactly what we want, it's hard to break out of that. But the thing is that Jesus doesn't call us to follow him to leave us the same. He calls us to follow him so that we can be transformed, that we can be made new and can be changed. And what are we being changed into? Well, in Romans 8:29, Paul says this, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. When Jesus takes hold of us, he begins to transform us through the power of His Holy Spirit at work in our hearts. And what we're transforming into is into His likeness, into His image. We start to take on His will, His character, His priorities. We take on His behavior into our own lives. And the longer we truly follow Jesus, the more we're changed. So that when people look at us who may have known us years before and have not seen us in the meantime would say, wow, you're a lot different today than you were back then when I knew you. Something's different about you. What is it? The Bible speaks of transformation, and the word transformation is used, or the Greek word that's used for that is metamorphosis, and it's a word that we use in nature to talk about changes and things, but it's a word that I think describes what Jesus is doing in us well. That if you look at this butterfly, a butterfly started out as a caterpillar, and it began to enter into this state of change. It made a chrysalis around itself, and that was the beginning of a transformation that would take place to make it something almost altogether new. And when a butterfly emerges at the end, the thing about it is you still have, it's the original being, it's the original caterpillar, but all of a sudden it has a completely different purpose, it has a completely different way of living, it has a completely different everything about it. What it eats is different. It's the same thing, but it's been made new. Radically new. This is an image of what Jesus does in us. He takes this caterpillar of who we were when we were in darkness and separated from God, and he begins to shape us and mold us, and through relationship with Him, as we let Him guide us, He begins to make us into something altogether new, so that we're strengthened by something different, we're encouraged by something different, we have a different purpose, we have a different life. Just like the butterfly. This is what being a disciple is all about, being transformed as we follow Jesus. So as you look at your life as a disciple, as you think about your definition and how you would apply that in your own behavior and your own lifestyle, how have you changed? Do you see change that has taken place from when you became a Christian to today? Do you see change from the way that you were 5 years ago to today, last year to today? Is the Holy Spirit at work in your heart? Or have you put up a sign in your life that says, I don't want to change. Stay put. A disciple is one who is constantly being changed and being transformed by God because we are people who need to be transformed. We have not yet achieved the ultimate goal of being made in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. So finally, a disciple is someone who is following Jesus, who is being changed by Jesus, and a disciple is someone who is joining in the mission of Jesus. Matthew 4:19 says, I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me, and I will make you into fishers of men. It's interesting when we think about the Christian life and what God calls us to. Because I think that the way that a lot of people in the church think about this passage would be that they would see it more as Jesus is calling them in this way. You say, come follow me and I will make you into my close friends. Which is true, but not what Jesus said. Maybe we look at it and say, come follow me and I will make you heirs to my kingdom. Also true, but it's not what Jesus says. Maybe some of you feel like when you look at this passage, you would see him saying, come follow me and I will give you a faith that is all about you. That is for your benefit alone. But this isn't what this passage says. It says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will send you out to benefit and share with others. I will use you to show the love of God, the message of the gospel, the hope of Christ with the world. John 20:21 says again, he said, talking about Jesus, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. We talked about this last week, about why discipleship is important, but this week, what I want to impress on you is that regardless of how you understand discipleship as being important, the life of a disciple is one of joining in that work of making disciples. It's something that includes joining in with Jesus in his mission to the world. We can't stop short of that and think that we've done all that we can do when it comes to following Jesus. We can't look at our faith as being just about us and not about others. And so we come to Jesus to be shaped into a person that is like him so that we can be equipped, so that we can have the heart and the character to go and let others know of his love and bring them into his family. We see this work in Peter and Andrew. They are going out to fish. And Jesus goes and they look for the fish, try and figure out where the best spot is. They cast their nets in, hoping that there's fish there that they'll catch, and then they bring them in. And in the same way, Jesus is saying, you're going to go fish. You're going to look for people to share the gospel with, to share me with. You're going to share that gospel. You're going to cast your net of the gospel. And then those who respond, you bring back into my family. This is the work that you will devote yourself to. This is discipleship. So the question is, when you think about being a disciple, where does that fall in your life? Do you make disciples? Do you share the good news of Jesus? Do you see that as an essential part of what it means to be a follower of Christ? A disciple joins in Christ's mission. Okay, our last point. If you feel that you look at any of those points and say, ugh, I'm not quite there yet. If you feel like maybe you are discouraged because of this call of Jesus on your life and you go, I'm not sure how I can get there, but I know that I have a long way to go, that's okay. You're not alone. The last point that I want to impress on you is that a disciple, this is using terminology that we've used in the discipleship team, but a disciple is someone who is moving to the right. And this picture is the picture that has been given to us to kind of think about this term, this next slide of an arrow pointing from left to right, from the dominion of darkness to the kingdom of the Son. You can keep that slide up, and I'll look at 2 Peter 3:18. Says, rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we look at the life of the disciples, they didn't understand what they were getting into when they went to follow Jesus. They committed their life to him fully and tried to follow him the best they could. They listened to him. They were trained by him. They were transformed by him. But it took quite a long time for them to get to a place where they were mature in their understanding of Jesus and that life that he calls them to. Throughout the Bible, there's this acknowledgement that the Christian life doesn't just start and stop with salvation, but that when we come to that relationship with Jesus, when we enter into that relationship with Jesus that saves us, then we enter into this process of becoming the type of people that Jesus wants us to be. Some of us are at one stage in that process, and others of us are at another stage in that process. And that's okay. But the goal is to continue to move forward, to continue to grow, to continue to be like Jesus. You see here the dominion of darkness and the kingdom of his son. The dominion of darkness in this illustration is one of a state of not knowing Jesus, of not following him, not making him Lord of your life, of not having a relationship with him. And in this stage, we talk about things that we can do as disciples to engage with people there. And we simply talk about engagement, of befriending and caring for and showing Christ's love to people who don't know Jesus. But then we talk about that point where we can do it in other people's lives, but it's for those of us who are followers, it's been done to us that someone shared the gospel with us, that we evangelize the one who is lost so that they can hear the message and respond. We cast the net. And for those that respond, the cross stands in the middle as the time of transformation, of moving from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. But once entering the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son, the Bible speaks about being like infants, being like children. Still learning the truth, learning what it is that we believe, fumbling around trying to live that out in our lives, but failing repeatedly. Doesn't mean we're not saved, it just means we're at a stage where we're beginning. Eventually, as we grow, we move to a state of spiritual adolescence where we, again, know more strongly the things that we believe or what Jesus has taught, but we still are wrestling with how do I live this out in the more complicated places of our lives? How do I live like Jesus in this world that is so working against that lifestyle? We're still saved. We're just in a different stage. We are trying to work it out in our lives. As we continue to do that, we grow in little ways so that eventually we come to a place where we are aware of Jesus regularly, that we're submitting to him and his will and his ways regularly. We're engaging in that life that he's called us to regularly. We continue to grow in maturity. The reality is that none of us will be mature until we finally reached heaven, until we're finally looking at Jesus face to face. We'll not before then reach the epitome of being mature Christians, of the height of maturity. But each one of us, as a follower of Jesus, has a desire to keep moving in that direction, to keep pleasing God more, to keep living like Jesus more, to keep knowing God more, being in relationship with him. So when we talk about discipleship or being a disciple, we're not talking about perfection, but we're talking about progress. Are you making progress? Are you moving to the right? Bill Hole, an author of many discipleship books, says this about discipleship. He says, of course, all disciples experience good seasons and bad ones. All enjoy victories and suffer defeats. All experience stagnant times and even times when they seem to travel in the wrong direction. But a disciple's heart consistently yearns for and desires to please God. So a disciple's heart consistently yearns for and desires to please God. Are you moving to the right? Do you have a heart that desires to grow despite seeing that there is room to grow? Are you moving in that direction? Are you letting your life be submitted to him? Some of you may look at this picture and you may feel like, I don't know if I've ever really come to a place where I would say that I've given my life to Jesus. I don't know if I've entered into that relationship. I don't know if I've really responded to that call to follow him. Others of you may feel like, you know, I've said that I'm following Jesus, but really the role that he plays in my life is fairly minimal. And so when I look up here, I think, you know, I'm probably fairly young in my faith. Others of you are farther along and feel like you need to just continue to be strengthened and continue to be encouraged as you pursue Christ. No matter where you are, I want to just encourage you this morning to commit or recommit your life to being a disciple yourself, of following Jesus, being transformed by him and joining in his mission in this world. As we commit to this in our own lives, it positions us to have a chance to share this with others, to bring others into this life that Jesus is calling us to. So I want to take a moment, as we have the last few weeks, to just give you time to pray, to go before God, to let him speak to you, to share with him what's on your heart, and to respond to what you've heard this morning. So let's take a few seconds to go to God in silence, and then I'll close us in prayer. Father, we thank you for Jesus' invitation to follow. Lord, we know that all of us in this room are at different stages in that, and we just pray that you would meet us where we are, that you would help us to take the next steps so that we can move forward closer and closer to you. Help us to not just get complacent. Help us to not feel comfortable, but to recognize that we need to be on the lookout for how you're at work in our lives, for how you're guiding us, for the things that you want to change in us. Lord, we pray that we would grow as your disciples and that you would use us to make disciples of others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.